If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to it, you can go to James chapter 1. Verses will be on your handout. And again, I do these handouts because sometimes if you like to keep notes, it's hard to try to listen and keep notes on all the stuff. And we've made these, put them on a sheet, so you got the main stuff. If you want to take some alternate, you can. That way you can fold it up, take it with you. And I didn't want to wear out the PowerPoint people either. And I appreciate it. I can tell you the staff here at Calvary Chapel has been phenomenal. They have been so great. And I would like to think that my staff would be as nice with a visiting church as this staff has been. Sometimes I don't know for sure. But it has encouraged me how they have been. We want to talk about advancing your marriage through communication. And this is the result of, we develop different, we think different, and because of that, we feel different. Because of that, all those things. So how do we deal with this? And we're going to talk about that here in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And I'm excited about this. We'll let you go get you some food. Let me encourage you, and I don't know if it's optional or not optional, but tonight I'm not going along these lines that we've been doing, and I'm going to deal with something tonight, Lord willing, I think will be a real help to you, I think it'll be a blessing, so I hope that you'll be back. James 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The real question is not whether or not we're going to have conflict. The real question is, how do we settle it when it comes? Right. Because we're going to have conflict. I have met over the years a few couples, older couples, that told me we've never had an argument. And I think, fantastic. That is not us. That is not us. And you might be that same way. I get around people like that sometimes, and I feel like, man, I must just be horrible. And maybe I am. But most marriages have conflicts. I think sometimes it's healthy to be able to communicate. When I hear sometimes we've never had an argument, I hear that maybe somebody was just afraid to speak up their mind. I don't know. But I think that you ought to be able to communicate as a couple. I believe I have this on your thing. Professor H.W. Jurgen, he was a West German sociologist. He claims, and I don't know if this is true, but this is about three-year-old information research, that married couples chat with one another about 70 minutes a day in the first year of their marriage. It drops to 30 minutes a day in the second year, and then it drops to only 15 minutes a day. I mean, actual culmination of all the time spent really communicating, about 15 minutes in the fourth year of their marriage. His research shows that by the eighth year, a husband and wife typically share hardly any small talk and become nearly silent with only necessary communication. Wow. Sad, isn't it? Now, I hope that none of you are that, but let's just be honest. We've all been in the restaurant and saw the husband and wife sitting there eating. You ever felt yourself doing that? They just kind of stare at each other. The wife's usually kind of looking around at everyone else, talking with each other. The husband's sitting there like, don't make me talk, kind of a thing. Thank God for phones nowadays. Because now they both have something to do. And they just kind of look on the phones, they don't talk to each other. But y'all, have y'all ever felt that at a restaurant? You see a husband and wife, you're like, they've got nothing to talk about. We had breakfast where we're staying this morning, and Brother Harold put us at a bed and breakfast. And this is our first experience at a bed and breakfast. I'm going to be honest with you, because I think bed and breakfast, I'm sharing the bathroom with 50 people, and they keep it at 80 degrees, and I sweat half to death. This has been fantastic. We have really enjoyed this. And I told her, I said, I want to come back to it. I said, I enjoyed the whole process. And we sat and ate breakfast in the morning. And so the way they sit you have your own table, and everybody has their own table, but you're sitting where you're kind of looking at each other, kind of a thing. And so we're sitting there talking. There's this older couple. I don't even know if my wife saw him. I didn't talk to her about it. And they never talked the entire time. They never talked to me. And I'm not saying maybe that's how they get along. It's just don't talk to me today. Kind of, I don't know. But I just thought, we're sitting there. I was like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to get there. And if you are there, it's okay. Let's fix it. Let's advance. That's why you're at an advance. And let's figure this communication thing out a little bit. Let's pray, ask God to bless us. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Help us, Lord, as we look here at this passage and we just really dig into it and what you'd have us to learn. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just a couple quick practical things on this whole thing. Number one is this, tune in. James 1 says this, let every man be swift to hear. Tune in, focus in. Men, we focus, we talk about that, so focus on her. I've never figured out why, if we are such focusers, why we can't focus on her. You'd think that would be simple. Tune in. Quick to listen. In the parentheses there, quick to listen. You know, when we listen, we encourage the other person to talk. Maybe that's why you don't listen. I don't know. But when you're listening, what it is, you're encouraging the other person to talk. I've sat in the office with men that says, my wife never even really talks to me. And I want to ask them, well, your wife probably doesn't think you'd listen even if she did. When we listen, we encourage the other person to talk. Listening also helps us to understand the other person. Now, what are some reasons why we don't listen? And why in marriage it can get to that point? Now, I want you to get these. Number one of the reasons why we don't listen is because we're defensive. That's pride. We're defensive. If I hear what she has to say, we take it personal. And she says, honey, I just don't feel like we really communicate. A husband takes that personal. Like, this is another task he's failing at. Like, I'm an achiever and I didn't achieve this. And a husband doesn't like sometimes to get into these conversations because he feels like they never end good. And it's never really, it just makes me feel worse about everything. So let's just avoid it, kind of a thing. But many times we get defensive. And when a person knows that the other person is defensive, they're not going to come talk to them. Listen, when my wife knows I'm on edge and whatever it is, I'm just, you know, you're attacking me, you know, kind of thing. When I'm defensive like that, listen, the last thing she's going to do is come talk to me about something that's important to her. Yeah. Why would she want to? We're defensive. Notice, secondly, because we assume we already know what they're going to say. This is presumption. Presumption. Now, this, men, we are bad about this. Your wife will come talk to you, and guess what? You're not even listening to what she's saying because you think you already know what she's saying. And can I tell you this? A lot of times, you know why there's no communication? Because the wife knows I'm not even going to go talk to him because he's not even going to listen really what I have to say because he's already formulated in his mind what he thinks I'm saying. Or he just hears what he wants to hear, not what I'm really saying because he's not even really listening. I'm just another task in his day. And so oftentimes we don't listen because we're defensive, or oftentimes because we assume we already know. But can I tell you this third thing? Oftentimes we don't listen because we're already thinking about what we're going to say back. And that's egotism. Pride, presumption, egotism. And we're bad about that. The wife starts, she makes a point, she's still talking, but I'm already formulating the point I'm going to make when she stops. Come on, men. Can I have some amen from the men? We do that, don't we? And guess women do it too. But I guess I pick on the men more, but I feel bad to pick on the women because I'm a man. It feels chauvinistic, whatever the kind of thing. But can I tell you something? We're bad about that. My wife's telling me something, and the first thing she said I disagree with, and I got a good argument back for that one. But now she proceeds with 30 other things. I'm not listening to what she's saying. I'm waiting for her to get done so I can go back and make my point. And when a woman realizes that you do that as a man, why am I going to come talk to him? Yep. She'd rather just talk to a girlfriend of hers, and husband's being sarcastic. Well, I'd rather her just talk to the girlfriend of hers. Yeah, but the day's going to come up, she's going to talk to her boss about it.
Right.
Because that guy cares. Yep. So oftentimes we've got to tune in. You've got to listen. Now, how do we listen? And please write this down. How do we listen? Number one, we listen by observation. You're like, what does that have to do with listening? Listen to me. Listen not merely with your ears, but listen with your eyes. Wives, if we're not looking at you, we're not hearing you. Sometimes my wife will come in. I'm focused on sports. She'll come in and she'll tell me something. Now, what I need for her to do, and she has learned sometimes, that she needs to say, and thank God for DVRs. Pause. You can pause live TV. Just think the generation before us would have thought that's impossible. You know, kind of pause, stop, look at me, talk to me. So we listen by observation. And men, that means we've got to look. We've got to, all right, focus, listen, like Dan just made me do. Listen to me here. Focus, okay, kind of a thing. And so we listen by observation. It's not just because it comes in here. It has to come in here. And just that little thing many times will change communication. If the husband, by the way, you say, all right, and all, but the husband's just heard, okay, my wife needs, when it's really important, she needs to come say, listen, you need to put that on pause. I need you to look at me because I got to tell you something important. Now, here's really the best step is for the husband to realize if my wife's coming to me about something, it's important to her. Pause. Hold on, honey. Pause. Turn around. Now tell me. Because you care. We listen by observation. Notice, secondly, we listen by concentration. Focus on what the other person is saying. Most men, we hear blah, 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 blah. But we say, I'm listening, honey. I'm listening. We listen by observation. We listen by concentration. What does the Bible say? Let every man be swift to hear. What good does it do to hear if you don't comprehend? Listen, if comprehension didn't matter, we all could have gotten through reading at school quickly. It's just like we could have just flipped the book. Yeah, I read it. Yeah, but you got to comprehend what you read. Just because a wife says it isn't enough, you got to comprehend what she's saying. We listen by concentration. Notice, thirdly, we listen by consideration. Consideration. Think about the meaning behind the words without jumping to conclusions. It means that I hear what my wife says, and I might not agree with it right at the back, or I'm listening to what my husband says, and he's sharing his heart, but I don't understand why he feels that way, and he shouldn't feel that way. Can I help all of us? Listen, it doesn't matter whether you understand why they feel that way, husband and wife, whoever it is. That is their reality. They feel that way. That's right. So that is now your reality. Yep. Yeah, but I don't see how she feels. She does. Yep. It doesn't matter whether you see it or not. She does. So it's consideration. It means take it in. Think about it. Have a different perspective. Look at it through their eyes and what's going on. We listen by observation, concentration, consideration. And this is a big one. We listen by clarification. Clarification. If you don't understand, say so. A wife will look at her husband. If you go through this whole stage, and or vice versa, and they explain something, and then later on, well, I don't really know what she meant by that, but, well, tell her, ask her, say, listen, I don't understand, can you clarify that, and can I help you on communication? Men, if we're going to be swift to hear, then we've got to hear, and hearing doesn't just mean listening, it means concentrating, it means making sure you understand, it means considering everything that's going on, and it means that I know what she's trying to say. And men, if she says something and you feel that it's code for something else, and she's not really telling you the truth, listen, look at her, face, eyes to eye, and say, listen, can you clarify that for me? Is this really what you mean? Because I care and I want to know. You say, well, preacher, what if I don't really care? Say you do. Act like you're acting right now, because all you're caring about, I want to get out of here, get something to eat, but this is a session, so this guy's going on and on. All right, look, you got to act like you care, all right? You can do it. We do it every Sunday morning. Act like you care. Number two, not just tune in, but number two, tone down. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Isn't that interesting? Don't you love the word of God? Every person ought to be really fast, almost like you can't wait to hear what someone's saying. But it's as if every person God's word is saying, it the last thing you ought to want to do is to run your mouth. Yep. Now you say, preacher, you just said communicate. Now you're telling me not to talk. You know what I'm saying. Every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Look at me. What he's saying is this. don't be so interested in what you have to say that you're not listening to what they have to say. You know, half of marriage problems are we're all trying to convince each other of our point. Right. Let me give you these verses, Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that restraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. That means the more I talk, the more foolish I am. It's a sign that I don't know much, that I keep talking. Notice Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles and the frying pan across the head. Look at this, Ecclesiastes 5, 2 and 3. Be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known. How do you know if a fool is talking? A fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Wow. So, slow to speak, and I want you to get this. These are some very destructive games that you and I play in our marriage with our words, with how we treat each other, how we talk to each other. So I've given you a list, and I want to explain to you, if you see the word, it'll kind of remind you some destructive games that we often play. Number one is one or the other plays the judge. That's where we blame our mate. Like we're the ones passing judgment. Like we're the ones in charge. Like we're the ones telling them, you're the one that's done wrong. Who made you judge? Last time I checked, the Bible said God is the judge. But oftentimes in marriage, one or the other can come across like they're the judge. Like the other person is pleading their case, but you didn't convince me, so I still say it's your fault. Notice number two, destructive games we often play is the professor. And that's where one or the other acts superior. And this is bad. Please give me, I'm talking hours and hours and hours of marriage counseling. This is bad when a woman comes crying to me because when she did bring up how she felt, what her husband did is, that's stupid that you feel that way. How could you feel that way over that? Now to a husband's thinking, Well, goodness gracious, I don't see how she would come to that conclusion. But what a wife hears when you act like that is you're saying she's dumb. Yep. That you're just ignorant. There's something wrong with you that you feel this way about that. Men, once a wife feels that way, good luck ever getting her come back to you. Yep. And talking to you. The professor, more superior. Almost like, you feel that, you think that, like I'm superior. And that kills communication in marriage. Notice this third destructive game is the psychologist. And that's when we assume that we understand everything about the other person. Oftentimes a mate will feel this way, that they're being analyzed by the other mate. And that person's trying to tell them why they're wrong and why they're always wrong and why they act this way when this stuff happens. And they act like they're the professor and the other mate is just an ignorant student. Notice this fourth thing is the historian. That's where we keep record. That's where we keep record. That's where we keep track of everything that wasn't done quite right. Hey, some of these things men have a harder time with. Some of these things women have a harder time with. Why is it sometimes that a woman might be the one to bring up a lot of things? Where a man, why? Because remember, she thinks like spaghetti. Radar, she remembers everything. She remembers everything. You ask a man, what'd you have for supper yesterday? I don't know. But she remembers everything. And oftentimes, what we got to be careful is when we play the historian. Like, we're going to bring up everything you've done wrong. Notice this next game is the dictator. And that's where we want to rule. We want to show we're in charge. That kills communication. Kills it. Notice number five is the dictator. We want to rule. Number six is the critic. That's where we compare our mate with other people. Oh, that's a dangerous game. Dangerous game is where one or the other kind of brings up somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband and says, you know, they do that for them. I wish you did that. I'll never forget, my wife and I got engaged, and we had a wonderful engagement story. I waited a long time to get engaged, so I had to make it good. And I won't go into all the details of that, whatever the kind of thing might be. But I was going to ask her to marry me, so I picked her up one morning. I got permission from her parents, my parents, her pastor, my pastor. Had a guy in our church that worked at the airport. And so the plan was, I said, I'm going to fly her out this morning, fly her to New York City, get engaged on top of the Empire State Building, fly back in the afternoon. We're going to go get engaged. She didn't know that. So I picked her up. It was really early in the morning. She goes, where are we going? I said, we're going to go eat some breakfast. And I didn't even tell her I was taking her to the airport. So we pulled into the airport. We're going, and my wife says, why are we going to the airport? I said, well, they have a great place in here for breakfast. She goes, oh, okay. Thank God she didn't get it. You know, kind of a thing. And so we got into the airport and we got in line, and she's like, what? And I was like, we're going to New York. Got engaged on top of the Empire State Building. That's another whole long story kind of a thing. And I got her an engagement ring. I was preaching at a church in Georgia, where Ty Cobb was born. Royston, Georgia, and there was a jeweler in that church, and so I talked to him, kind of designed the thing, and he gave me a big break on price kind of a thing, and so I had her engagement ring made, so I gave her, so we got back, and her cousin and her husband had just gotten engaged, and so we were having like a reception thing. We had just gotten back, and so her cousin and her new fiance guy came up, her cousin's a girl, and came up and said, well, show me the ring, and so my wife showed her the ring, and she slaps him, she goes, I wish you'd have gotten me a ring like that. I never forget the feeling I felt. I'm like, I felt so bad for that guy. I still do to this day. You have no idea. And I'm thinking, you know what, listen, you and I, it's dangerous when we play the role of the critic. We're always critiquing the other person, critiquing how they do, critiquing how they cook, critiquing what they do at the job, critiquing. We can't be the critic. Notice number 7 is the preacher. And that's where we act holier than thou. Let me tell you something. What wives really want to hear is when the husband gets home and says, did you hear what the preacher said? I hope you heard that. I believe God had you there for that this morning. Let me rehearse that. Let me go over that again. I've had guys at my church that I've counseled with that they tried to bring outlines and like, babe, did you go over? Let's go for devotions this morning. Let's go over this with this outline. Kind of preaching at their wife during the thing because of the thing yesterday. Can I tell you something? That doesn't help. The husband doesn't want to be preached to, and the wife doesn't want to be preached to. These are destructive games we play. Tune in, tone down. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Notice number 3, lighten up. Let every man be slow to wrath, lighten up. You know, the Bible does not say that we should never be angry. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if we can be angry, but be angry and sin not, preacher, and in a marriage you say, lighten up. Okay, so how can we be angry and not sin? Well, I put this on here just so you know. It's kind of unrelated. That means that you are angry for the right reason. How can you be angry and sin not? That's when you're angry at the right reason. That means when you're angry at sin. When you're angry for the right reason. Second, when you're angry at the right things. Not at the sinner, but at the sin. You know what, you and I, it's okay in your marriage to be angry at the things that you and her do that are sinful, that are destructing your marriage. It's good for you both to be angry at that. I'm angry that we do that. You know what? Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I blow it with my wife, or man, I had a bad temper the one day and just impatient, been going through stress or whatever the case might be. And you know what? I'm angry that I did that. That's okay. You ought to be angry at it, and I ought to be angry at those things. That's okay. Notice thirdly, be angry in the right way. You know, our anger should move us to do something about a situation that is wrong. You know where anger is wrong? Where anger doesn't accomplish anything. I'm just going to be angry. I'm going to blow up. Well, what does it mean be angry and sin not? Well, when the anger moves you to fix something that's wrong, that's sinful. So be ye angry and sin not. Notice this. I love this. Story is told of a little boy sitting on the front steps, had his face cradled in his hands. He was kind of looking all dejected. His dad came home and asked him what was wrong. The little boy looked up and said, well, just between us, Dad, I'm having trouble with your wife today, too. Can I help you a little bit of this? Because again, I'm cutting this short, so I know you look hungry at me and all this stuff. You've been great. So when you have a disagreement, what do? Number one, you have this on your sheet. Let me give this to you. Have it at the right time. When you have a disagreement, have it at the right time. Don't start arguing before a meal, before a social event, in front of the kids. And you know the worst is when you're on your way to church. Hey, we went through a season where just life on us, we went through a season, and it might not be right, might not be biblical. We just didn't talk on the way to church on Sunday mornings. Turned on good worship music. One of the kids in the back was like, "Hey, Dad, shh." Because whatever started, it ended up bad. Because Satan fights you on Sunday mornings. Man, you get the kid dressed, you get stuff all over it, you're trying to do this, trying to do that, and the husband didn't help you do nothing. That's what I hear a lot. I think that's what she's saying, I don't know. Going to church is bad. You know what? We're fighting each other and we're arguing kind of. Then we bolt the church. Hey, God bless you. Good to see you. Kind of like, God is good. God, praise his holy name. Yeah. If you have a disagreement, have it at the right time. Notice secondly, have it in the right tone. Keep your words soft and sweet. You might have to eat them. In the right tone. Yeah. Let me help you here again. I know this is that time of the afternoon. You're doing fantastic. But my wife and I, if we have a disagreement about something, it's not wrong to have a disagreement. Right. It's wrong to have a disagreement in the wrong way.
Right.
Everybody got this? It's not wrong to disagree. But if my wife and I disagree about something and we're talking, and we talk like this, and we go through a process and we talk about something, odds are we're going to find a great solution. And even if we don't end up agreeing at the end, we love each other, we'll work through it, kind of a thing. But when I get to hear, she no longer is listening to anything I'm saying. All she hears is how I'm saying it.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm making a good point. Not to her. So if you don't have it in the right tone, you're not fixing anything. You're not communicating through anything if you don't have it in the right tone. You got to have it at the right time. You got to have it at the right tone. Right time. Listen, ladies, pick a good time. Listen, fourth quarter, 30 seconds left is not a good time to talk about our communication. That's not a fantastic time to just come in and say, you know what, something's been bothering me. Oh, great. Here we go. You know, kind of a thing. Right time. Have it in the right tone. Notice, thirdly, have it on the right turf. And what's that mean? What do you mean, turf? Got to go to a football stadium to duke this one out? No. Just the two of you. Don't do it in public. Try not to do it in front of the kids. You ever been out to eat with a couple and they start arguing? Isn't that horrible? It's awkward. You know, they get done. She's over there. She's ready to tear up. And you're sitting across. Hey, how about them Bears? You know, kind of thing. It's awkward. It's awkward for the kids, too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's awkward for the kids. It's awkward for everybody. Have it on the right turf. What does the Bible say? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It ought to take a lot. I saw this statement. I thought you'd enjoy it. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, when you're wrong, admit it, and when you're right, shut up. You know why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, there's a reason God said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because there's going to come a day you'll regret it if you don't. All God's people said.
Amen.
So let's go eat some lunch. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I pray that we will advance in our marriage through communication. It's a real simple concept. If we can just open up our ears, shut our mouth, and calm ourselves down, love you and love our mate, we'll be okay. God, I pray that you'll do that work that only you can do. We love you. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.